Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. The number to call in is area code 914-205-5794. Tonight, October 17th, 2021, we have a special guest with us to discuss Institutional Abuse Awareness Week, which is from October 17th through the 23rd. Felice, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad that we were able to connect. So could you introduce yourself to people and kind of locate us into where the current issue is, and then we'll take it from there?
Okay. I am a survivor of one of these treatment centers for teens. There's a whole industry. It's the troubled teen industry. And, you know, it's a hard time for parents, I understand. But basically they get sucked into believing that if you, you know, that as a magic fix for adolescents. and a lot of times, and mostly the parents are, you know, trying to get their child some help through a rough time, and they just don't realize what goes on in these places. And if you try to talk to somebody about it, they really don't believe you, especially the place I went to was so bizarre that, you know, if I told anybody about it, they just looked at me like I was absolutely nuts, even the mental health professionals, especially the mental health professionals, you know. That was a mistake asking them for help. But, yeah, there's a lot of types of institutional abuse. It's not only residential programs for teens. There's foster care, group homes, all kinds of settings. Anything that's not like a psychiatric hospital, because those are regulated. And these the other places, they're not. And they're not – and if they have regulation, it would be, you know – state by state, there's nothing across the board that guarantees just the basic rights to any kid to, you know, not live in fear every day and not be abused every day. And it's long overdue. I mean, something needs to be done about this. I've been at it for years. And then, you know, had some other issues to deal with in the human rights field, so... finally, there's a lot of survivors now, and I think that I think this industry in itself will create its own cure. So next week is interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
Next week is Institutional Abuse Awareness Week, because people aren't really aware of what happens to kids when they're taken out of the home. Where do they go? They go to foster care sometimes. Sometimes children get stuck in these places because there are no foster homes. And the things that go on in there that I've witnessed personally and the types of things that go on in any institutional setting are abusive by nature. You don't have autonomy. You don't have a lot of basic things that people take for granted. And there's, you know, kids, they end up dead, a lot of them. And it's very unfortunate that there's no oversight. There's no accountability. And people that abuse children or prey on children are prone to work at these places like anything. Go where they have plenty of things to entertain them, you know. And in my school, a kid died, and they told us to shut up. I mean, he was 15 years old. So these are the kinds of things that you really don't get over. And I never really got over it. And the way I healed from the trauma was to make sure that my school was shut down. And now there's hundreds of them. So, yeah. So I got my work cut out for me.
I'm sorry that you went through these things, and thank you for the work that you do in trying to eliminate this. So just for people to kind of get their heads around what you're talking about, I want to ask you just a couple of things, and you can talk about them however you think best. Can you go a little bit more specifically about the kinds of places and why people are sent there? How they're unregulated as opposed to psychiatric institutions or foster, like within foster care settings, or residential treatment facilities or residential treatment centers, how these are different than those places. And then, obviously the extreme trauma that these places cause long term. And you mentioned something to the effect that no one would believe you if you said the kinds of things that went on in these places. So can you talk a little bit about that and where you were and what it was like trying to shut it down?
Okay, well, the school I went to was a particularly violent one, and it was very surreal. I mean, there were people wearing giant signs and costumes. And there was 24/7 screaming in your face, like military type screaming in your face, loud. There was all kinds of forced labor. We got practically no education at all. So that didn't prepare us to go on to any secondary schools. You know, like if you got a high school diploma from there, it didn't mean anything because you didn't know how to do the work. You didn't learn anything there. Okay. And that was another scam. I mean, basically the school that I went to was a well-organized criminal organization. The peers, the students, whatever you want to call them, residents, ran the place, okay? So there would be maybe like five directors and 200 kids, and the kids did everything. So you're talking like no labor. The place was like an old hunting lodge in the woods in Maine, so you could scream your head off. Everybody could scream their head off. Nobody was ever going to hear you or come save you. If you tried to run away, you were out in the middle of nowhere in the freezing winter or whatever. I ran away twice. One time, I walked around the lake and walked right back to the place. That's how, like, out in the middle of nowhere it was, and I didn't know where I was. But, yeah, if you caught an aerial view of the place, you do. So they basically use the same tactics as North Korea. They isolate you, they load the language, they deprive you of sleep. It's all, behavior modification, thought reform, mind control, whatever you want to call it. It's programming. And
let me ask you, because you sent me this federal legislation that maybe for people who like still are trying to wrap their head around what you're talking about. You sent me this federal legislation, the Accountability for Congregate Care Act title.
Right, right. It hasn't been introduced yet.
Hasn't been introduced yet. Okay.
No, it will be introduced at the end of the week. So what we're trying to do is get people to sign on to it in Washington. They have a history of doing absolutely nothing when it comes to child abuse. There were hearings about this in 2007, 2008, I believe, and they're well aware of these problems. And they don't. And as far as child protection services goes, they are the biggest child abusers there are. So therein lies the problem. And I don't. And anybody that's ever tried to speak up about this problem has been, found mysteriously dead or whatever. And so,
let me just try to like narrow it down even more. At the beginning of that text, there's nine different categories of types of places. Can you go through each of those places? Just briefly explain even a sentence or two about what each of these places are for people who might not, this might be the first time they're hearing about any of this.
Yeah, let me, what were you looking at? Was it something that I sent you? Was it the actual outline of the bill or?
It looks like the, I'm sorry, it looks like the outline of the bill. So there's like,
I sent it to you and it was a text document or whatever, right?
Sorry.
Let me go find it on this. It's cool. I tried to have it printed out before, but I'm gonna get the printer.
I should have mentioned something before. I can also, I don't know if you're by your computer, but I can also just text you that.
Yeah,
block.
I am. I'm just opening it up. Yeah, that was quick.
So because I think that there's a real breadth of like kinds of places.
Okay.
And reasons that people wind up in these places that are outside of the scope of what we normally would be talking about on the show in terms of psychiatry. And maybe
right,
you could talk
right,
about
right.
how the dangers of the ways that these types of places get positioned as alternative to psychiatry, as if they're good because they're not using psychiatric drugs, which of course, like,
well, a lot of the places do also use psychiatric drugs. Luckily, they didn't at mine. But a lot of them do. The ones in Utah, there's a bunch of them there. Like the school that Paris went to, they use horrible drugs, hell doll. You know, that stuff. Straight out of hell. And they're using this on teenagers, okay? Developing adolescent brains, along with trauma, you know. Okay, so wilderness program, that's like the... outward bound type of thing, except for that it's being run by people that shouldn't be taking care of anybody's kids to start with, okay? Usually sadistic, trying this, it's a whole, like, tough love mindset, okay? So we're going to send you out there with, like, not enough water to survive when it's boiling hot, make you walk, like, 10 miles and give you dry beans to eat or whatever. And that's going to make you a better human being. I have no idea what they're trying to accomplish. But a lot of kids have died in wilderness programs from heat stroke. You know, and if you complain, they take the attitude of, oh, you're trying to be manipulative, or, you know, there's always – so it is very, very in line with psychiatry and, you know, this everything's your fault. Except you don't get to blame it on a fictitious disorder. It's a character
right.
flaw type of thing, I guess.
Right. I feel like in some of the ways the promotional ads towards parents are to help their children escape a psychiatric label. And
right, exactly. Because it is easier to say, well, you know, I've sent Johnny to wilderness camp instead of, you know, Johnny's in the psych ward. I don't know, but if you're going to try to help somebody, it shouldn't be torture that you're giving them, and that's my point. And that's what they get. And there's a lot of deceptive marketing, because when the government accountability went investigated these programs, they found, you know, that they had to do a whole nother report on the deceptive marketing practices, because they just straight up lied. And when things happened at these programs, like a kid died, they would just roll up shop and open up in another state under another name, because there is no type of way to track them and no federal, there's no federal accountability. Usually people get charged, but they're never convicted of anything. And these are serious crimes. So I would like to see them be able to approve that any of these places have ever helped anybody, and they can't.
Right, just like
I would like to think that ranch where people could heal themselves, you know, with nature and all that. I mean, it sounds really nice, but what actually happens at these places is, it has nothing to do with the brochure, has nothing to do with the marketing, has nothing to do with the educational consultants that get a fee for referring you there. And a lot of times it is a psychiatrist or a therapist recommending one of these places. But they're, and they're mostly ignorant. I mean, they honestly think they're trying to help a kid.
So this first category of wilderness and, like,
yeah, that's the, yeah, you're going to go out there and it's survival in nature type of deal.
Okay.
And they, and really, honestly, with kids dying of hypothermia, heat stroke, not having enough water, food. These are basic human rights.
Yeah.
And children don't have any in this country, none. And especially the really young kids.
Right. So, right, I mean,
so
and
that,
have the right to have a right.
So they all run on the same premise of behavior modification is what I'm saying, okay? So they're going through adolescence, you know, it's a time, okay? It even has its own label, so that should tell you something. And I guess they're trying to treat it as if it were a disorder. I'm not really sure, okay? But they do certain things to get somebody to change their behavior against their will. You basically have to program them through trauma, and that's what they're doing. So by the time your kid would graduate one of these schools, would be the time that the funding ran out, and that's normal, and they would actually think that the program helped them until, you know, 10, 20 years later it all comes back to them or whatever, and that's usually what happens.
And they go by there are at least 9 different types of these places that young people are subjected to.
Right.
That, right. So some of the, can you use some of the language so that people, like when they're hearing it or if they know people who are talking about these types of places, that they understand that this all falls within the space? Because I think a lot of people would look at this list and they would think, huh, well, that's you know, a pretty common word inside of our vernacular in society.
Right, right. I think that there's a lot of red flags. Okay, first of all, if you're not allowed to have communication with your child, that's red flag number one. The school I went to, we were not allowed to have any communication, and if we got onto a high enough level where we were allowed to make a phone call, it was completely monitored. I mean, somebody standing over you ready to grab the receiver, like if you said help. Don't ever believe your child, they're manipulating you, blah, 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 they're a liar, all this other stuff, you know, because that's how they keep you in there. Like, the reason Paris was in her schools was because somebody was funding it. That's really the only criteria, okay? Because where I went, there were kids from the state there were private pay kids. They would take anybody. They took severely disabled kids that didn't even speak English, and they were pouring things over their head and yelling at them and beating them. I mean, how is this helpful? I think, you know, watching what goes on in these places is far more traumatic than having it happen to you, I can honestly say, because it's a helpless feeling and you're trapped there. And
Well, yeah, witnessing violence definitely is damaging as experiencing physical violence. Yeah, I mean, definitely, I would imagine that it would be a space of where people are being terrorized and tortured.
Right.
You don't get... But,
terrorized into compliance is what it is.
So,
which
I mean,
isn't really helped.
We're talking about, like, this wilderness or boot camp kind of idea, but then also, like, standard kinds of things that people talk about all the time in terms of residential treatment programs, centers or facilities, RTCs or RTFs, right? Like, those
right.
places, either non-medical or therapeutic boarding schools, would that be, like...
Right, yeah, they're called all of those things. therapeutic boarding schools. I think when I went to Iwan, it was called a residential treatment center, which is more of a drug and alcohol thing. But I was a teenager. You know, I smoked weed. We have a drug problem. So, yeah. But they're all the same. They're all, and you have to look out for, I would say, certain therapies, okay? If they're like, yeah, we do tough love, run, okay? Tough about love. That's I think, how they, somehow they got this bad idea in the 70s from a cult named Synanon. Okay, and this was, you know, and then there was halfway houses for drug addicts on the East Coast. I think there was Phoenix House and Daytop. Any of those sound familiar? Where they had confrontation and attack therapy is what it was.
Confrontation and attack.
Yeah. They had confrontational attack therapy where they scream at you all day long about trivial things. I mean, just the most bizarre things that they would say. And just constantly knocking on doors and getting screamed at and just bizarre things happening. And even if you didn't do anything wrong, you get yelled at for that, you know. It was a no-win situation, put it that way. And I wasn't even there that long. You know, that it had a profound difference on the way I saw the world. Like, I was shocked that these things were even happening in a free country. It would be like something that you would witness at Gitmo, you know.
So if these places are state and federally funded, how is it that they're going without regulation?
Well, let's just say that Jayco is going to come by and inspect. Okay, well, they call beforehand. You know, I've been there when they've done inspections in several different types of institutions, and they always they'll call ahead of time. And so they just, you know, they stash the abused kids, and they clean up the place, and they make it look like they're behaving themselves. The only time they ever really get busted is when a state shows up to check on their wards unannounced. Like, the state of New York did that to Iwan, and they were like, that's it. We're not sending any more kids there because of the boxing ring. Kids beating up kids, you know. This corporal punishment in Iwan wasn't responsible because the residents were beating each other up. So it's kind of brilliant in that way.
You know exactly what that means, and I know what it means because you shared some stuff with me the other day, and I was able to watch something.
Right.
For someone who doesn't have any grounding in what you mean by the boxing ring, can you please explain that?
The boxing ring was a ring made up of us students, okay, and then there would be the offender, you know, you get boxing gloves and a helmet, one of them soft things, and then they would send somebody in to fight you, and then they would change that person out like every 3 minutes. So basically they were pummeling you legally. Somehow. There's a loophole there, you know, because there weren't any staff per se or directors, they weren't laying their hands on you. It was the kids beating each other up. But basically they were beating you into compliance. The ring was made out of humans, and then they would just, you know, they just keep sending in a fresh person. So even if you were the best fighter, it was, you know, it was futile. And it was meant to teach people that physical violence is pointless, I guess. I was lucky enough never have to experience one of those, but I witnessed it, and it's brutal. And the child that died when I was there was in a boxing ring right before he died.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and they put him in there for complaining about a headache. So they're like, we're going to beat this kid up because he won't shut up about his headache. And then he died, and then they told us to shut up. So that in itself was a creepy situation that, you know, kind of freaked you out.
If
you're not freaked out by this stuff, then you have a problem.
Well, do you hear a lot of pushback about it? I mean, people seem to want to change this right away.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I left there in 1983 or 82, that was my promise to myself that I was going to see that place shut down, and I did. But now there's a lot of other ones. And so, you know how it is, Lauren, when you've done something for so long that that's what you do.
Right.
Might not be a job you get paid for, but yeah.
Yeah, no, you're a couple of years ahead. I got out in 90 and kind of made the same vow, except it's still operating and probably grown. So congratulations on that shutdown.
It's really all you can do to them, you know, is hurt them financially, because that's all they care about. They're not in the business of helping anybody. And it's like it's a huge industry. It's like $53 billion or something. And for such a big industry, nobody knows about it, really. And I think that's part of how they hide this thing in different types of programs. But it's all programming, bad programming. And it's kind of like the it's hard to have skills when you get out of a place like this, you know. Like, I remember after sitting in a corner for 5 months, it was really hard to go back into reality. And if you do try to tell anybody about it, they can't perceive. So I guess what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to spread awareness, just like Breaking Code Silence is an organization trying to spread awareness about this and do something about it. And basically it's made up of a bunch of people who experience this. I think the industry has created its own cure because motivated, successful people that went through this that really aren't going to let it go. So, I mean, for me, it's great. Finally, I have, you know, all this help. And I'm just sorry this couldn't got done 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
I
just look at all the names of dead children, and it's senseless.
I appreciate you. If people want that website for Breaking Code Silence, it's www.breakingcodesilence.org, and there's also a Facebook page, right?
Right, and I think that there is. I think if you put in, if you go to Breaking Code Silence on Facebook, also, I think you can get to the stuff that's going to be going on all this week. There's a bunch of. We're just going to be trying to educate people on different terms and stuff. Like you said, if I say a term like general meeting, nobody knows what that means unless they went to my school, you know. And that would be like, you know, that would be like 200 people rushing up at you to scream at you, you know, and other things. It was just horrible. But you can't, I mean, these things are indescribable.
When you say rushing up to you.
Oh, well, they would stand you up on a stage in front of the house, okay? And, well, before you got in there, they would whip the house into a frenzy. They would, you know, tell this person this and that. And then as soon as you're standing up there, they would say, get your feelings off. And people would just come flying literally out of their chairs, okay, and bum rush you, okay, and all just stand there and scream at the top of their lungs in your face. It probably lasted about 45 minutes. I mean, you'd be covered in spit.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was just the beginning of it, you know. That was just the beginning because you were the entertainment for the night. So, I mean, it's hard for people to wrap their minds around things like this. If they've never witnessed anything like that, if they've never experienced it, I don't know how it's really hard to explain. I mean, yes, now we have documentaries, but... When I was trying to explain this to people when I was like 18 years old and, you know, a pretty bad case of I didn't even know you could get if you didn't go to war, you know, there's, you know, people just look at you like, huh? Like I was making this stuff up. Now, I'm creative, but I don't sit there and make up stuff like that, okay? My delusions are happy. And so it's been 30 years of people not believing what I say. And finally, due to the internet, and that's how we shut down the school I went to, you know, all these people can connect, okay, and plan. Before the internet, there was no way for me to find anybody. We all came from different socioeconomical backgrounds. We all came from different geographical areas, you know. Once the internet came out, then people found each other because it was a pretty traumatic thing for all of us. And, you know.
Right. So, and I think that that's one of the things that is always of movements of people who are surviving or have survived or are still being subjected to psychiatry. Back to the 19th century, that we have always managed to find each other. And I think that's something that is important for people to remember, that this is, while these issues currently, this has been an ongoing event in human travesty since the beginning. But the rights have always been, and so the youth movement, particularly of organizing young people. I don't know if you want to talk about what some of the actions are that people can take, or maybe some of the potential legislation or other issues that maybe that people can take. But we also have caller, so I just want to see if somebody wants to join in on the show. I'm going to open the mic right now. If you're not wanting to, don't worry. But if you want, I'm going to be opening the mic now. It's opening. Hello, caller. Your mic is live. Would you like to join in the conversation? Hello? Okay, they may be just listening. So I'm going to put that back. But if you want to, at some point, we can...
I think that most of the people that would have seen anything I shared online are pretty busy tonight getting ready for the next week. But yeah, they're trying to raise funds. It's basically they're going to introduce legislation. This legislation is it's farther reaching than the legislation that I've tried to get passed in the past. And I think in that way it's better, definitely. There are just so many of these places called different things, and that's the nature of the business. It's shady. It's just shady. So there needs to be some type of accountability, some type of standards, and there needs to be the people to enforce this. There needs to be people that look in on these kids and not just when they're dead, you know. Or severely injured, you know, for every kid that dies in one of these places, you know, there's like 100 others that nearly did, you know? So that's what's going on. And by nature, I guess, it's almost stigmatizing to, you know, if you say, well, I went to a school for troubled teens, you know, they think you were a bad kid. I was never arrested. I didn't have a criminal record. My school district didn't kick me out. I could have gone back to public school. This was a decision my father made and paid for it privately. Okay. So you really don't have to earn your way in there. Okay. It's a matter of you are a funding stream asset. It's kind of like a bigger, harsher version of those adolescent treatment programs they have on the psych wards. because, you know, they would always threaten us in the hospital. They'd be like, well, you know, if you don't get with the program, we're going to send you to Elon. That was like the big scary. And it's scary, all right, but.
Hey, for legitimate reasons.
It's fun.
So
no, I had a video on my YouTube channel, and there's a pinned comment right under it. It's under my Elon video. My YouTube channel is Witness for Justice, just Witness and the number 4 and Justice. And it was a social services worker who worked in Maine, and he was told basically, if you get complaints about this school, you're just supposed to ignore them, or you're going to end up like Jimmy Hoffa. Seriously, I mean, you can go look at it yourself. And this was like, you know, he had retired, okay, and he's like, well, now I can finally talk, you know, and he basically laid it all out there. In our case, there was Senator Bill Diamond in Maine, educational liaison or some weird title for the school, but basically anybody complained about the place, it went in the trash. And that's really unfortunate. And I'm pretty sure they have that set up like that in every state, because it's been allowed to happen for so long.
So this is pretty horrifying. And young people in general, just in case people, like, maybe people think that young people have the right to participation and what's happening in their lives as much, but there really are no rights for young people, right?
No, and if your parents sign you over to one of these places, basically they do have the right to kill you. And nobody's ever convicted. Even if they are charged with something, it never goes anywhere.
So are they hiding behind the model of like aversive behavioral interventions or radical behaviorism or something like that?
Yeah, there is a place called the Judge Rottenberg Center in Massachusetts where, you know about this place, everyone does, where the kids walk around with their own little shock packs on their back, you know,
right.
And the staff has to zap them if they, you know, forget to raise their hand or something.
And the Supreme Court just turns the ban on that.
Yeah, they never banned it because I guess it was in appeal immediately. So the kids never got a break. That's sick. That's barbaric. And that's just, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's a sick invention. I'm going to invent a little backpack that the kids can walk around in. I'm going to zap them. You know, I don't even like those things for dogs, you know. They got kids hooked up to these. And it's always the parents that are in court going, oh, it helps Johnny so much.
It's torture, but it also sets up for some parents who didn't realize that JRC and other places like this were committing acts of violence of torture against their children, and it's not what they signed
right.
up for. They bought into the idea that these are legitimate, like, medical people who would, like, help, right? So how do you...
there's nobody there, not that I respect anybody with a psychiatry degree anymore, but there's nobody there that's had any type of education or training except for going through the program themselves and graduating, you know, and that's how they get their staff and their directors, you know, because, you know, sometimes a kid really does have nowhere to go after that. So, well, yeah, you know, I'll just stay here and...
Well, I mean, I guess that piece actually made it a little complicated for me on some levels, because that's the whole goal of, like, creating youth-run, peer-run organizations, right? Or, like, survival.
Right. I know. The word peer is a scary word for me because of this. That whole peer thing, I was like, ah! Yeah, it's the same model. Exactly. It's the same program. And it all comes from the game. In and on, which is messed up cult.
Can you talk a little bit about?
It was really only a fad for a little bit, and I think in the early '80s it caught on.
You said Synanon, just so because I know
Synanon was basically a cult. It was supposed to be for, like, hardcore drug addicts. And that's where the confrontational attack therapy comes from.
Okay, so
because
people
people calling each other on their, you know, on their game or whatever. I don't know. I've always been honest to a fault. But
confrontational attack stuff you were talking about at the beginning?
Confrontational attack therapy, seminars, personal inventories, all kinds of, I mean, there's these schools where they all have to sit in this big warehouse all day in these blue chairs and wave their hands around in the air and just really, really strange stuff. I mean, and it's just a warehouse somewhere. I mean, you wouldn't know what was going on in there, right? Not unless you've been to one of these places.
They say that these young people are just being warehoused, literally in a warehouse.
Literally in a warehouse. Well, a lot of them, some of these programs are like, they're structured differently. Like some of them, they get the whole family involved, okay? And so if you're in the program, you get to go home at night, but not to your own house. Some other kid gets to go to your house. You know what I'm saying? This is something my parents would not have bought into, okay? They were more like, we're going to outsource this, okay? But, yeah, there's the religious-based ones. There was just a school that was closed down because the owner's daughter came forward, okay? After growing up and watching all of this her entire life, she, you know, and she's brave. And she reported her parents, and they were arrested, and they closed down the school. And that's going through the courts right now. There's so many different types of these places, and under the guise of, you know, help or, you know, like I said, some of them are religion-based. The school I went to was not religion-based. A lot of long-term damage. It doesn't help anybody, except for unless you're a psychopath, because you get rewarded for being cruel to people. And so it's, you know, they thrive in that environment. They're like, yeah, you know.
Definitely. And I'm just looking at some of the materials that Breaking Code Silence is putting out. That list of places where institutional child abuse happens, residential treatment.
Right, and it's not always just like somebody hitting you. It's they're depriving you of all kinds of things. So, like, if we had to go to the bathroom anymore, we would have to literally go through like 10 or 11 people to get permission, and then you'd have to find somebody to watch you, you know? So, you know, that could be like an hour.
You have to go through 10 or 11 people?
Yes, you were never allowed to go to the bathroom alone or anything. You were always under surveillance, 24/7, even when you slept. There was a night watchman or woman that would stay up all night and walk up and down and do head counts and all that with a clipboard. There were a lot of elements in there that were very military. And like I said, everybody had a job. So if you had gone through the whole program, I didn't, and graduated, then you would pretty much have worked yourself up through a dichotomy sort of thing, you know. And the higher up you were, the more privileges you would have. The school I went to, they pretty much bribed us with cigarettes. And, you know, like 13-year-old kids smoking. yeah, it was a reward and punishment thing, and most people
that's,
just try to forget about it when they get out of there, you know, because they got to get on with life, you know, until the trauma catches up with you, because you can put that away out of your mind, but it's still there. Eventually something triggers. I've watched this happen over the years because, you know, it's been so long. I've watched other people get out of schools. I remember when Paris was locked up, and I was like, you know, thinking to myself, well, it's going to be about 20 years. You know what I mean? Because when you get out of one of those places, you don't want to think about it. If you try to tell anybody, they can't hear you because it's so messed up, they don't believe you, or the language is so loaded, you can't describe it. And you have to just, you know, survive. There's life goes on. You have children, whatever happens, but there's usually 10 or 20 years out, trauma catches up with you. Something will trigger you, and you're right back there, and you're a teenager in this helpless situation. And there's a lot of survivors now that have all managed to get together on social media platforms. And I'm talking like in the thousands. So I think if, you know, they can't silence all of us. That's all I got to say. You know,
and
the first person that spoke up about my school, Michael Skakel, he was a cousin to the Kennedys or something like that. They put some 25-year-old murder charge on him. I mean, there's retaliation when you go up against these people because it's such a big industry. I'm talking billions of dollars. You know, they don't want people to know about this.
And I'm just looking. Yeah, no, of course they don't, and that the industry exists to protect the industries, right? And so the people can sign on to that Accountability for Congregate Care Act 2021, right? There's a support letter.
Right.
I'm just on the link.
I think all you have to do is text. Hold on, let me get it. It's if you just text, hold on, wait, there's a little bot. Okay, get over. Hold on, my old eyes here. Okay, all you have to do is text 50409 and go ACCA.
Okay, 50409. And then go ACCA. Great.
And then you can sign on and you'll get updates. And, you know, hopefully we can get some, if enough people, it'll automatically email your representatives about it, trying to get more people to sign on to it, you know. It's just an issue that nobody in Washington wants to touch with a 10-foot pole for some odd reason.
Because they change the entire structure of everything. Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, because kids couldn't be funding stream assets anymore, you know. I mean, there's been some terrible legislation that has led up to this, like the American Safe Families Act, where they would grab your kid and put them up for adoption under a year that Bill Clinton signed. That was that would give social workers like a $5,000 bonus for grabbing your kid, and like another $10,000 if they give them up for adoption. Really?
Some people might not know what you mean. Can you
I'm talking about. I'm talking about. It was legislation that they wrote under the guise of, we don't want kids lingering in foster care, so let's get them adopted real quick. Okay. Well, they were just grabbing people's kids and giving them up for adoption because there were fiduciary bonuses. And the more kids you gave up for adoption, the more money your state would get. And then the individual workers would get bonuses. This is something that President Trump fixed before he left office. So they no longer get these financial bonuses for just grabbing kids willy-nilly. And they were, for a long time, probably about the last 20 years, just taking anybody's kid they could. You don't get a trial in family court with CPS or anything like that, and your kid's up for adoption in a year. And I noticed that a lot of women that had a psychiatric label, that was the reason they got their kid taken away. Not any neglect, not any abuse or anything. Like, they would be just like, I got labeled bipolar and they came and took my kids, you know, like an epidemic. There was one senator, Nancy Schaefer, that said something about it, and she wound up dead, her and her husband. And she tried to get other senators to help her, and they straight up told her, I can't. We'll see what happens, you know. All I'm saying is there's a lot of us now, and I don't think they can stop all of us.
Well, it's really wonderful that you're organizing and bringing attention to these issues, and hopefully...
I'm not really organizing. I think that was Paris Hilton that organized it. I've just been doing this forever, and so it's something that I do anyway, and so I'm just kind of, you know, volunteered for their organization to do some things, and this was kind of like, you know, my own thing on the side, because I saw your post on Facebook, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Well,
in the middle of trying to do all
your efforts over the decades of organizing and creating a pushback.
I don't do well with injustice, and there's plenty of it. And I just, you know, it's something I can't help. You know how it is. You know, if you see something wrong, you know, the next thing you know, you're in the middle of it. But, thank God I've made it out. I appreciate you because you've definitely inspired me, you know, a lot. And I liked your choice in music, too.
I'm a shameless plug. I'm looking for hardcore metal punk bands who want to both support and support psychiatry to come on and talk about their music.
Oh wait, I'll make the band.
That's definitely. I think trying to figure out how do we get this really these long term issues that for decades many of us have been trying to get away out of and for centuries have been going on. How do we get this?
I think at this point they're so big, they're corporations at this point. A lot of these places are owned by giant healthcare conglomerates. You know what I mean?
Or the state.
We have to follow the money. It's like you're trying to take down Big Pharma. Come on, you know.
Right, and the state is just as implicated. They're making money off of it too. Every time they bring in a penny for resources for any of those, the state is benefiting.
Right, right, and that's all they look at anymore is the bottom line, and everything's fiduciary, and you know, and they're in healthcare for a long time. We know that, and. This is just it's another bad institution in America. There's plenty of them. A bad system. Legislation and policies that are written by people that don't have to live by them and have no clue how they play out in reality. And hopefully we can make some change. That's all.
Well, that is definitely
I can't sit around and cry about things. I have to do something about it. That's my way. And I think that everybody that has something horrible happen to them that they didn't deserve, and it happens to all of us, that's your opportunity right there in life to make change, to not leave it like that. I've always just been compelled like that, you know. So I'm not sure why other people don't feel that way. There's plenty of us that do now, and there's plenty of us that are perfectly capable of getting some things done. I just pray it goes well, because I know there's a lot of people that are ruthless that really don't care if they ruin everything in your life over, you know.
And
we're talking billions of dollars.
And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of children a year, and so over time, millions of children who now are adults,
right?
Because
they need, they gotta have people in the prison system. Come on. And that's where a lot of them end up. It's kind of like the foster care to prison system or Pornhub. And they're perfectly happy with these things. These are money-making industries for them, so they need to fill those too.
Right. And
it's trauma-based programming, really.
In other words, trauma-creating, trauma-based, not trauma-informed, but trauma-based. That's right.
Right, trauma-based programming. Right. Yes. It's a real thing, you know. Which basically, you know, Skinner, Lifton, we're talking. You know.
Right.
Those psycho people that are like, "Wait, give me a baby, I can make it do anything," you know?
Right.
It's real. I've seen it with my own eyes. And it needs to end. This is America. And I was born here. This is my country. These people need to get. Honestly.
Go
pull that shit somewhere else. Don't pull it at all. But it's an embarrassment that the most vulnerable people in our country are the most victimized. I mean, what's great about that?
Nothing.
Nothing. Exactly. And it's up to us, you know. Like, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Nobody.
Great. So it's a call to action.
And, you know, exactly. When something happens to you, it is a call to action. Whether you realize it or not, and if you're listening to this, it is. Okay? That is your opportunity to fix it. Not just to get away from it, to get out of it, but make sure it doesn't happen to the next person. Don't just leave it there, you know?
For somebody who has recently escaped it or maybe still been in it, how do you recover from it?
The only way I recovered is to just, you really have to unprogram yourself, deprogram yourself, you know, and a lot of the things, you know, it's mindset is what it is. And so undo all the bad programming. I would imagine it takes a long time. And then there's some things that, you know, you might always just, you know, be a little bit jumpy or something, and certain things happen. I'm not really sure. I know what I did was to shut down the place, you know. But then as soon as I felt like I could, you know, finally breathe again, I looked around and the whole industry had become a Goliath, you know. And I knew that all these other places were out there because, you know, I was, you know, interacting with people from all different types of programs. And they were, you know, trying to shut down their personal soul also. So, but when you really look at the scope of everything, like go in and audit a state and look at their numbers, it takes your breath away. It's how many, just thousands and thousands of children, and then your kid, but we don't know where they are. Like, there's something very wrong, very wrong. And there's no reason any child should be removed from a home unless they're an absolutely, you know, really bad danger. And that's not the way it is, but people believe it is. People believe if a child is out of the home, there's a good reason. And the reality is the child is out of the home because somebody is making money off of that. A lot of people are making money off of it. Whole court systems, guardian ad litem, social workers, foster parents, I mean, on and on, program after program, boot camps, wilderness programs, residential schools. But that's what they've become. And they have no rights at all, none. And they don't even know their rights. I was lucky enough to have a good education. And the state of Illinois taught me the Constitution, okay? But if I didn't know that and I didn't speak up about it, I wouldn't have any rights either. And you know that, Lauren.
No, I know, and I think that that's part of what educating people around our rights and how people can get involved. And
you can always do something, even if it's just signing a petition. You know, you can. There's always something you can do. So that just makes me fight them harder. I don't care if I'm in it. If they're making my life a living hell, I'm making theirs 10 times worse. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're not going to make money off of me.
Right.
People need to stop buying. People need to wake up and stop buying the BS is what it is, okay? Labels are for jars. People need to know that these things that they think they have were made up in a boardroom. Most people don't even know that. They don't understand where the diagnostic statistical manual comes from. And these kids, I do believe you have to have some type of label to get sent there, you know. I mean, can you imagine, like, you know, now we got a disorder where you flip somebody off and you're oppositional.
I feel like, you know, as a movement, we lost a lot of people this year and this week. Both Jackie McKinney and Darby Penny both passed away this week.
Oh, don't count them out. They're just not here in the physical. It might be, you know, they might be doing better than there.
But I was just thinking specifically a couple of months ago, Paula Kaplan passed away, and her work on...
And Julie Green.
Paula Joan Kaplan, she was a feminist psychologist and author.
Oh, my God, she did? I didn't even know. Oh, wow.
It was very upsetting. And she was, you know, her book, They Say You're Crazy, was a big piece of exposing the fraud of the diagnostic statistical manual and the way in which labels are created and the fraud behind that. And I feel like this would have been like a space to like really talk about the fraud that these young people, that any of these labels would justify torture or abuse or any of these kinds of responses.
No label justifies torture, but the labels themselves are not real, and I don't think people understand that. I also don't think they know that you don't have a chemical imbalance. They made that up ages ago. They just forgot to tell you.
It's really
a matter of educating people, and I believe that that's what Breaking Cold Silence is trying to do, okay? And that's healing for a lot of people. It really is, because we all have the same story. We might have went to different places, and the program methods, they vary a little bit different, you know, but we all experience the same hell, okay? And I don't care where you came from. Torture's torture, okay? And we all suffer the same, like that, all right? And these places are not helpful. They never have been helpful. They're criminal enterprises, and your child's nothing more than a funding stream asset for any of these systems. And what did people do for thousands of years before people came along to solve their own family problems for them? You know? I mean, really.
No, it's true, and that there are portions of this that if it's not private insurance or cash-paying people, there are portions of this that are getting paid with tax dollars, which then adds to the funnel of building the industry and why it's slavery.
Right.
Right.
We trust our politicians.
Well, this is.
I'm skeptical. I don't know, man. But it's not nice to be a child nowadays in America. Not at all. And it's gone far enough. It really has. I mean, there's too many kids have died. I'm still typing up that list. And I didn't even compile it to begin with. I'm just trying to turn it into a video format, you know. And we're talking like 7-year-olds committing suicide, okay?
A 7-year-old.
12-year-olds. Kids dying left and right in programs. Heat exposure, thrown from a truck, all kinds of things. I mean, it is real, you know. And people don't want to see it because it's ugly. It might ruin their little day or something. But, well, I'm sorry, these kids are suffering and being tortured to death, but could you at least do something about it? You know. take 5 minutes out and write your legislator and ask them what the hell and why and how did it get this way and how are they standing? What are they doing sitting in their office doing nothing about it? It doesn't take that long to tell off your representative. I mean, they have, you know, they just stick it in a file. They have their interns come in and print them all out. And then an issue comes up and they look in the file and they're like, oh, okay. But if you fill that file up with 200 of them, someone's going to pay attention, you know?
So, I mean, this is really another...
I think action is the best therapy. Really, action is the best therapy. If you, you know, I don't think depression is like just comes over people. I think it's situational. I know it has been in my life. I've always had a valid reason to be depressed. You know,
right.
And a pill ain't gonna solve it. It never has.
No.
It only makes it worse. It compounds the problems usually. So and you know,
and
that
so
way confrontation is
the antidote, right?
It is. It really is. I think that all most of the bad things going on are ignorance. Okay, lack of education. You know, honestly.
So can you just talk a little bit about you were successful in getting the place that did this torture to you shut down.
Yeah.
So can you
we basically
talk
just
about
a bunch of
that-
us got together. We just hit Google pretty hard because we knew most people use that search engine, and we just generated a lot of data of our own, okay? We made blogs, we made videos, we did everything we could, okay? There was probably about 10 of us working on it really hard for a long time. And so finally, over a period of time, we had eventually, if you would Google Elon School, then it would come up Elon School atrocities, and my video would pop up and somebody else's video and another blog, and parents would be like, skip. You know, I'm not sending my kid to that place, you know, because, and these were all real stories. You don't have to exaggerate about this place. Okay. But they were like, no, I think I'm going with another school or whatever. So we hit them in the pocketbook. That's the only thing they care about. It's the only thing that matters. And it's the only way that you can hurt these people.
It's a documentary.
You have to make it non-profitable for them to be in business, and that's it. And so they closed due to lack of enrollment.
Huh.
Yep.
Because,
you know, if nobody's going to send their kids there, then, yeah, ran out of merchandise.
So it was a matter of them not having the funds to operate, not a matter of the government shutting them down?
No, no. The government doesn't shut them down because there's no regulation on these places. More often, like I said, it's some senator protecting them and their child abuse. Getting
right.
kicked ass, you know.
And there's documentaries,
you know,
about
people that believe that money is the world. That they forgot to look at their dollar bill. It says, in God we trust, not in greed. But, you know, I understand. You know, it kind of looks the same. But it's not, you know. And if everything's money-based, you saw the same thing happen in healthcare when they went to HMOs, right? Then what these HMOs were covering was vastly different. And they would actually, you know, calculate whether you were worth it or not, sort of thing.
I
you
still
have a care to leave. Yeah, I know. Me too. I've tested it a couple times even, too. It's ridiculous. I mean, yeah, if you don't have insurance, they could care less about you. You know,
well,
they get the hell out.
In state planning, and the state planning has a whole calculation of where they're buying and selling people for the least amount of money for the most amount of services that are then blocked out as, like, blocks of people who are getting mandated to services in different sectors, which are, you know, services in air quotes here. Which are ordinarily either coerced, court-ordered, or uninformed. And so
right.
that that model of buying and selling swaths of people through either private insurance or through the state plans with taxpayer resources, I don't think people really, I don't think they think, well, maybe they think that we're lying, but I don't think that they really
understand. I don't think they grasp how this is all connected.
Yeah.
And how massive it is when you look at all these industries put together, okay?
If you were to try to draw a picture for somebody or somebody who's really never heard about any of this before in terms of the industry, financial incentive, profit margins, et cetera, do you have an idea of how to explain it to somebody?
I believe there's flow charts out there that show the financial corporations and political connections within the troubled teen industry. Off the top of my head, I'm going to say like Bain Capital, the Lynchfields, Mitt Romney, you know, the gang. They all have interest in these places. Probably trying to create the next Manchurian candidate, but, you know, you never know.
It's brainwashing and programming. Right? There's no two ways
around. Totally. Yeah, it is programming. It's not like they lie about it. It is brainwashing, mind control, thought reform, whatever you want to call it. It's the same Kool-Aid. Yeah. Just different flavors, you know?
Right.
Honestly. And you can see it spreading into mainstream systems that have absolutely nothing to do with like psychiatry or thought reform, because it's becoming, you know, now they're spewing it out to the idiot box with like mandates and all kinds of medical tyranny, and
right.
Really nobody wanted to hear about it when they were drugging me against my will. I mean, that's the most drugs I've ever done in my life were forced on me by the state of Wisconsin, you know. You're not allowed to smoke a plant there. Definitely, I would say, an authoritarian vein that runs through this all. And it's just something I guess I'm aware of, you know, it's fascism kind of. And not being able to have autonomy over your own body. Well, that's straight out of psychiatry. And, yeah, they've spawned a lot of bad industries.
Right.
Because, you know, they've never helped anybody, you know. We know that. And, you know, people are going to believe what they want to believe. But how do you work against billions in marketing? Like when it comes to pharmaceuticals or people believing this chemical imbalance thing or anything a shrink says. Honestly, basing their identity on some label that is not even real.
Well, that's the question.
You need to, and judges ordering things that they know nothing about. You know, dumping neurotoxins into kids' heads while they're developing their brains. I mean, this is not good.
Yeah, these are terrible places, and the idea of any of this, where psychology or psychiatry and any of these kinds of ways typically used, having any kind of benefit.
Oh, well,
is,
it's not even, I mean, they skipped the whole psychiatry department and just, like, took Skinner and Lifton and, and a couple of other messed up things and threw it in a box and said, yeah, you know, they know how to traumatize people, and that's about it. And they use it for control. You know, they want people to be compliant. And I think I was born without that chip. You know.
Yeah.
I'm incapable. Somebody tells me to behave, and I'm like, I don't know. Yeah.
So restraint,
but
solitary confinement, forced drugging.
All that stuff. All that stuff. Plus, just 24/7 making your life a living hell. And there's kids that would have to, like, stand inside a box all day. Or, you know, like, just things you wouldn't even imagine, things that you think is happening in some gulag in North Korea, things that you think are happening in Gitmo, things that you think are happening in some horrible other regime are happening in America, in every state. Okay? And it's time for people to pull their damn heads out of the sand and do something about it. And stop saying it's someone else's problem. Because that's how it gets to your doorstep. Honestly. Kind they're like, you know, dragging you out into the streets because they don't like your ideology or your religion or something you said. It's too late then, you know?
Right.
And I've been trying to tell people this since, like, 83.
Second.
Getting old.
40 years, yeah.
It's getting old.
Right.
I'm old. What the hell? They need to close this industry down. I mean, really. I mean, how can they even say this is a nation, one nation under God, or even have any pride in this country when all we do is make money off of prisons and children? It's like the biggest joke on earth that we're a free country. People have this delusion, you know, and obviously they haven't had my experiences, but, you know, that's what they're there for. Fucking give them hell. I appointed myself the CEO, so what? Twitter. I can't believe no one had the name.
Now we
have thought crimes. We literally have thought crimes, and that's what it is. You know, you know that. You can go into talk to a shrink and get yourself locked up easy. I don't even know why there's homeless people. All you got to do is go see a shrink and be like, I want to kill myself. You got thrown out to the cat. And some bad drugs, though. Yeah. Yeah, and the chemicals they forced on kids. Well, you know, remember when they killed that 4-year-old for gurgling her milk in Rice Lake, Wisconsin?
Right.
Rebecca Riley was her name, yeah. Remember that? That's what I'm talking about. That is one of these places, okay? Why is she in this place? Because they had an opening, and she was a funding stream asset, and she got killed for gurgling her milk at lunch. Really? Think about that. Yeah. And, you know.
People need to know. And, you know, for decades, the people involved with psychiatry have been warning people that this idea of the state being able to take your autonomy away of what you do with your body, that it was possible or that it would ever come for them, right?
It fell on deaf ears when it was psychiatry, but now people are starting to listen when it's their own body and a vaccine. But I think we warned them about the pharmaceutical Goliath ages ago, right?
Right, right.
No, I said no to their drugs. Later. Yeah, you're not allowed to pick what you put in your own body, but they're going to force like 10 neurotoxins on you. And a list of conditions.
Right. And then your basic freedom of not being institutionalized. And that's for adults. And so children don't even have to start. And so the basic idea of youth rights and of like a dinosaur of the youth movement, like really trying to create this federal attempts at ensuring that young people, particularly in any kind of congregate care, incarcerated kind of setting, are...
have basic human rights. We're talking about not even, I mean, they're not state-given rights to begin with. Like the right to not be raped, the right to not be hog-tied and stuck on a floor all day. You have no idea what goes out of these places. Nobody does, unless they've been there and they've experienced it and they've gone through it. And it's not like some made-up QAnon thing or whatever, okay? This is real. And I don't know why people refuse to hear about it and look at it or even watch a documentary. I'm really not sure. But when they come to your door, I warned you about medical tyranny a long time ago. It doesn't matter whether it's psychiatry or a vaccine law. The laws are written. There's a Chapter 51 in every state pretty much, right? Or Kendra's Law or Baker Act or any of that crap, okay? So when they determine, and this is legislation, this is my part, when they determine that you are a danger to yourself or others for any reason, it doesn't have to be because you think blue aliens are out there, okay? They have the right to stick a needle in you. You know that. I know that. I've had it done to me, okay? And we're going to try to stick a needle in you. You don't know what's in you. Really?
Well, it's true, and that is the premise of the state that we ultimately.
And if you're not compliant, you don't get to own a gun either, so you can't defend yourself. Isn't
well,
that
true.
Nice?
I put a FOIA request into the New York State about the New York State Act, which expanded the involuntary outpatient visit law and also took away people's Second Amendment rights. And they finally sent back the data. I'm working on an article. I have a heat map that I made of this. But there are clear, like, race, gender, and geography disparities. So in total, there were about 148,000 orders in the last several years of where people have been now subjected to the New York State Act. About 48,000 of them, they said were closed, and I'm not clear as to what closed means. But there were 100,000 active orders at the time that the state gave me the FOIL response of the data. And 50,000 of those people were in New York City, and the other 50,000 were spread out across the state. And people just don't realize the level of control, and that it doesn't have to be even anymore a psychiatrist. Now it's your parole officer. If you, within 4 years of being incarcerated or being released, you have any involvement with psychiatry, you're mandated into involuntary outpatient commitment upon release. And then your regular medical professional.
Oh, yeah. New York has gone totalitarian. They're just like, yeah.
New York is. It ranges from, the data ranged from 12-year-olds to 100-year-olds. And in Florida, the Baker Act, since we brought it up, and I'm in Florida now, the ordinary person that they go after is a minor. And so young people have it.
Because they have a lifetime consumer, quote-unquote consumer, you know. Yeah,
no,
because if you grab a kid, you get more years out of that funding stream asset. You see? Right. There is no humanity anymore. There's no humans. We're, you know, somebody left the E off the end or something. I'm not sure. But it's not acceptable. It never has been acceptable. And now it's downright ridiculous. And they have the legislation to do it. In fact, I would say that the legislation we have right now on the federal and in state, because we know how they go into the mental health laws, okay, that it's way worse than pre-Holocaust Germany. Way worse.
It's long-term. It's long-term. And for anybody listening who might remember or know, the technology for the gas chambers in Nazi Germany was tested at 7 different psychiatric institutions across Germany where they created people were incarcerated with psychiatric issues, were marched into these rooms that looked like showers, and then that was how they developed the quote-unquote technology for the Holocaust. And so when we talk about that we are survivors of psychiatry and talk about it as surviving a Holocaust, it's important for people to remember that we were the people who Hitler said didn't have lives worth living, and that by being subject to the technology building for the gas chambers, it gave our lives purpose. And so this is a big part of our history, as is the history of slavery. And, you know, the work that I'm
and
looking
the history
at...
of the Holocaust, they got all their bad ideas from American psychiatry. I don't think people understand that one. They can read about that on Dr. Bregan's site at Bregan.com. And I think he gave a speech about it, how the Nazi doctors, the sick ones, you know, got their material from American psychiatry. Okay, we're the ones that invented the whole eugenics thing and, you know, deemed people worthless.
Right.
And you know.
The commissioner of the Utica State Lunatic Asylum, George Adler Bloom, who then retired from Utica and went to the Butler Retreat in Rhode Island, he's been named as one of the lead for psychiatrists in development of eugenics. And the mortuary at the Utica State Lunatic Asylum, which is now Mohawk Valley Psychiatric Center in New York, is named for him in his honor. And in 1921, when the Utica State Asylum, then as the Utica State Hospital, sold the Journal of Insanity to what was the American Medico-Psychological Association upon it becoming the American Psychiatric Association, they renamed the American Journal of Insanity the American Journal of Psychiatry. And it was all part of the groundbreaking where they named the building after Bloomer, the eugenicist, in 1921. And so... This history and New York's involvement in this and the ways in which obviously other states also have been implicated, but that 13th Amendment, you know, just going back, because eugenics was part of the evolution post-slavery, and in the 1840s when the asylum and the American Psychiatric Association was establishing, they literally established as a strong arm because the state was trying to regulate their practices around restraints and solitary confinement and other forms of like bleeding and torture that they were doing to us. And so the original purpose of the American Psychiatric Association was to strong arm the state against their regulations. And you could see how they were...
Oh, and silence dissent. Wait a minute, like in Russia, don't they use like the psychiatric hospitals, like if you're a political, you know, you say something about Stalin, that's it, or, you know, like that stuff. I mean, historically, it's always been an evil industry, and this is just another branch of it, and I really wish I would have realized sooner that the whole pharmaceutical psychological industry is connected to the troubled teen industry.
Right.
It's like it's private money-making bank there on the side, like, you know.
Right.
Hush, hush.
And I just want to underscore this issue around how from the 1840s through the 1880s, psychiatry was supporting the institution of slavery. Psychiatry created diagnoses that were specific to people enslaved. They created segregated institutions in which to carry out the treatments against these people. And with the creation of the 13th Amendment, it did not abolish slavery. It legalized slavery as a form of punishment. And within the prison system, psychiatry has been operating in full force since then.
Oh,
but
my God. They all have the red cart and, yeah. Yeah, it's horrible. And the people that go there with serious issues, I'm talking real disabilities, okay? These people don't belong in prisons. They can't – it's not going to do them any good, okay? It's ridiculous. You're just warehousing disabled adults in prisons now. I've seen it.
I'm saying is that it's not just the prisons, it's the asylums and the state psychiatric institutions have been operating under the 13th Amendment without the clause of meeting having been convicted by a crime and just being named as potentially...
What about the Nuremberg Code? Why do you have things forced upon us?
It definitely comes into play, but this is leading up to that... From the earliest days of the psychiatric industry, that they have been involved in the financial profit of a small group of people.
Experimenting and torturing human beings, yeah. And engineering society. And now it's just like one big mind warp. I mean, really. People honestly believe everything that comes out of a pharmaceutical commercial. And they forgot that television was invented to sell soap. Now they're just selling vaccines. You know, it's just, but it's always been a marketing tool.
That's right.
Like, get a grip, people.
and but the way that with state power, particularly those who are already disenfranchised and experiencing oppression, are then further subject to these places and this kind of culture that would be a violation of the Geneva Convention if it was happening against a prisoner of war, right? And so...
Yeah, but they really have no enforcement. And, yeah, and the UN is pretty much a joke. I mean, yeah. They're the biggest, that's just like a room full of criminals somebody should have bombed a long time ago. I can say that. That's my own personal opinion. Anyway, yeah. But getting back to issues of, you know, there being no protection for any of these youth under 18, okay? Once they get filtered into these many, you know, the list there, okay, and there's more, there really is no oversight at all. And everything happens. Because those are the kinds of people that run these places. I'm not really sure why it's been allowed to go on for so long. I really can't conceive of that evil. But it has. It's systematic, and it's an epidemic. And now they have, you know, your teacher saying, oh, look at Johnny's a little bit hyper because we made him sit there for too long in his seat, you know. And you're an idiot, and he wants to get out for recess, right? So now let's give him pills, you know? It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And the racist and classist and ways in which it all gets carried out also is...
Oh, yeah, I know. Yep, I know. Experience what's going on, and it's torture. It is. And when I'm, you know, thinking about all these kids that suffered to death in these places and the ones that didn't die but are still suffering, okay, it's horrible. And why is it allowed to go on? And what is people's problem that they would rather, you know, watch some fictitious garbage on television that's just as horrible and, you know, that's entertainment or whatever? Anyway, I'm going to do something about it, and I would appreciate some help. So the least you could do is, you know, just text 50409, and the resist bot will tell you what to do. Because we have technology now, and, you know, and technology has helped take down a lot of places. It has. And I've only used it for good, and it's awesome, you know. So sign up for the resist bot. Just text GOACCA to 50409 and just get on board with this issue. And the more people that you can share that with, the better. And let's help out children that have absolutely no voice and no rights and are right this very moment living in hell in your free country. And I don't care what party you think you belong to or any of that crap or what color you are or what sex you think you are. These are children. This is all, none of that matters, okay? And if we can't do that for them, then whatever. You're living a worthless life. That's all I have to say.
GOACCA to 50409. And if people want more information, they can also visit the website. There are links in the show description. And you could also join the Facebook group, Breaking Code Silence. And it's Breaking Code Silence.
There's always volunteers needed. behind these issues.
And your website is youtube.com/witness4justice for videos that you
correct.
Made.
Yeah, yeah, and I usually made them for like, oh, I made one for the protest for the American Psychiatric Association in 2019, and I just basically put like, you know, all their little tortures since the beginning in chronological order, the ice baths, the insulin comas, the little boxes on people's heads and lobotomies and all the good things they've done in the name of whatever, treatment. That's never been treatment, and it doesn't matter what age you are. This is an old problem, but, yeah, I'm not sure why nobody knows about this whole billion-dollar industry on the side. But, yeah.
So thank you for all the work that you are doing to try to and have done to try to expose this. It really does make a difference, and that people can just simply – text GO ACCA to 50409 if you want to get involved, and you can take further direction from the Resist Bot. I love that.
Yeah, there will be events happening all week long on Facebook and on the Breaking Code Silence page. There's a 5K run, walk, do whatever to raise money for, apparently that's what it costs for legislation here in America. Or, you know, you can't talk to a politician unless you have a handful of cash, I guess. Apparently, I'm really not sure. I just go look at the statues when I'm in D.C. or go to the dispensary. But anyway, so you can raise money, it'll be put towards this cause and getting legislation passed to help children. That's what's important. I'm not sure how that works. I'm more of like focusing on the actual policy and legislation type stuff and making up artwork for that or whatever. But everybody's got something they can do, and we always need volunteers, so help out.
I definitely hope people will do that, and the links to the linktree, the link tree for different actions that people can take are also in the description of the show.
Thank you.
I hope that people will like and follow pages. I know that it sounds silly to like have to make those requests, but we literally add more people.
It helps the algorithm, it helps the issues stay current in the current events. Yeah, if we could get this issue trending, that would be awesome. I think we have a chance, you know, because there's a lot of us, and because Paris has a big following. God bless her. So, yeah, we might get this hurt at this point.
Well, I hope
you I'm going to give it a try. I don't know how to do anything else, so... yeah, this is an important issue, and I think it should. I think it's the most important issue. We're talking about our future. It's a problem, you know, like our education system. Don't get me going, but yeah.
Right. And there's also other bills around that are opposing aversion and aversives. And some of the National Disability Rights Network reports that people can find.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you so much for bringing this.
Right up that scary alley right there where, yeah, we use messed up things on children. So let's stop being barbarians.
As we're closing, is there any final thoughts that you'd like to add to our talk tonight?
No, I think probably guilt trip the audience. I know it's strange, but like really, if you're having a problem with depression or any of that stuff, when you do something for somebody else, it really does make you feel good. I swear. You know, there's no monetary value, but it's priceless. It really is. and to make a difference in the life of a child, and in this case, 100,000 children or more. You know, just every time you share, go ACCA, you know, text that to 50409 if you share that, and somebody signs on to this, and then that'll email their legislators, and then maybe we can get other people to support this and do something about it, you know. I mean, that would be great.
Terrific. And we do have a couple of people.
I don't have free media to talk about anything we have possible.
We do have a couple of people on the line. I'm going to open up the lines and just make sure that nobody wants to, if anybody wants to jump in. The lines are open, so if you have any questions for Felice or want to add any material or any other information, the lines are open.
Hello, this is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
I'm calling from Oklahoma. I've read on the internet several years ago about this place in Mount Dora, Florida, called the National Deaf the National Deaf Academy, where they had these helpless children, and the place was later closed down because everything from poor housekeeping to sexual abuse. Have you ever heard of the National Deaf Academy in Mount Dora, Florida?
I haven't personally heard of it, but I know just as a matter of fact that any institution in this country is abusive, unfortunately. Anytime there's somebody that ends up being in somebody else's care, if there's not a bunch of oversight or there's nobody looking in on that person, then they're going to be abused because it's the bad side of human nature. And so that's where these people get jobs, you know, whatever. They're sadistic.
Right.
And that's why but I know that if it's a hospital, you know, those places are regulated. I'm not saying horrible things don't happen there because they do daily, but that's more of the psychiatric program. Okay. And, yeah, there's all the seclusion, restraint, chemical restraint. I mean, that all, but that's regulated. And they have a duty to report things and stuff like that. These other places, there's no incident reports. They don't have to get a doctor's order to do anything to anybody. It's a whole different world. And it's more, yeah, I believe it. I believe that a lot of institutions, I would even go as far as to say, you know, we have a problem in our universities where, you know, there's no thinking outside the box anymore or anything. And that's all part of, you know, we're going to tell you what's normal, psychiatry and thought crimes. There's we got an issue. I'm glad they shut down.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you for calling in.
Okay. Anybody else on the line who would like to jump in on the conversation? Your lines are open.
Ooh. Yep. Trick it.
Well, I think that becomes our larger issue as a movement, right? How do we continue to build and how do we do this? So this is 2021 Institutional Abuse Awareness Week to stop child abuse inside of these institutions and other kinds of places like wilderness
boarding school programs, wilderness boot camp. We're going to help your kid, all that crap. Yeah, adolescence is not a disorder.
Right. And people can text GOACCA to 50409 to get involved.
Correct.
And put up the efforts.
Yep. Yep. They'll send you instructions step by step. So don't feel afraid if you don't know how to work your smartphone because they made a bot and it's like your little personal assistant. That,
Felice,
you know,
thanks
for hey, it's
much
pretty cool.
Will you keep us updated as things
I will.
Unfold?
I will.
And
thank you,
feel,
Lauren, for
feel free to tag me and stuff, please. And I'll help you whatever way I can.
I know you will. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Have a great night, everybody. If you're interested in setting up a show, you can contact me at area code 516-319-4295. This is another episode of Talk with Tenny. Until next time. Good night, everyone.